This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hey there, you are listening to Glow As We Grow. I am your host, Zoe. This is where we share thoughts and reflections from inspiring young adults' life in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Today, I have the absolute honor to have Ethan Cruz and Jack King as my guests on my show. They are in their early 20s and they are already designers, models, multimedia artists, and they have their own designer labels. Quite recently, they have organized the runway show As We Watch the World Go By, along with other organizers, as one of the big things happening during Dunedin Fashion Festival. However, these are on the outside. Today, we're digging in a bit more to the other side because what I have learned from them are their strength, resilience, artistic attitude, and their touching friendship. So once again, welcome to my show. Would you like to introduce yourself a little bit, please?
Thank you for having us, Zoe.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's great to be here. My name's Ethan Cruz. I founded and run Imperfect Creatures and work very closely with Jack.
I'm Jack King. I'm originally from Hawke's Bay. I've been in Dunedin for about 4 years now, and I run the brand Jepleur, which has actually just come to a close, but it's what has led me to this point, so yeah.
Oh, nice. Would you, because you mentioned your brand, would you like to tell us a bit more about it, please? Like the ideology and how we started?
Mine sort of, I don't know, it came about, I really wanted to be able to make my own clothes and be able to express myself more through clothing, and I was just finding it hard to get access to that sort of thing, so that kind of led me into it amidst a few other things. Now I think my design practice sort of reflects, it's like a meticulous attention to detail and functionality and quality. I like to take a lot of time on a garment and just really make sure that it's, you know, operating to a high level and has a lot of detail included. So I guess that's sort of where it sits. It's like a darker aesthetic, like a black, white, red sort of colour palette. Sometimes bring in some pops of colour, but for the most part it's, yeah, that sort of darker, grungier aesthetic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Jepleur, I started that when I was 16, 17 in high school. I really needed an alter ego or something to put my creations through. I originally was going to call it Cry. Everything started with pen and paper, just drawing portraits and adding tears onto the portraits. I was going to call it Cry, and then my French friend blurted out Jepleur, so kind of stuck with that. So it was just years of hosting little pop-up shops in my hometown, releasing clothing here and there, also doing photography and film and just whatever creative outlet I felt like I could do, I'd put through Jepleur. It was raw expressions from me that I was able to, you know, share with my viewers and hopes they would feel something. It's just what Jepleur was, and I've just closed a chapter recently on that, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes next, but yeah.
Nice. That is really cool. Like, at our age, you have already accomplished a lot. What is the concept about that? Like, is there any ideology concept behind it? Like, why are you creating this label?
Yeah,
like the imperfect, unique, like, is there any attitude, feelings, something like
that? Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I don't know, I think, just being able to express yourself through what you wear and being able to find that sort of niche that you can, you know, feel comfortable in and find some sort of, like, I don't know, I guess, sense of family within is something that I really want to create. And I think that definitely comes from working with other people and collaborating on projects. Like, that's where the best work has happened for me so far. And that's how, like, Jack and I have sort of flourished in our relationship, and it's been really special. And I think, like, that's definitely a massive part of Imperfect Creatures and where I want to take it in the future is just like continuing to work with other artists, like of different mediums, and I guess that sort of like embodies that similar ethos of like creating some form of like community and aesthetic that people can, you know, feel good and feel like they can go and like smash the day,
yeah,
sort of thing. Like
that is some encouraging
feeling,
deep thinking.
Empowered sort of thing. Yeah, I guess.
Oh, nice. What about crying? Is there something you want to share? Something you want to relate?
Yeah, I just felt that tears are our strongest emotion, and it allowed me to really get, well, be honest as much as I could, and raw, and I could just throw anything at Jepleur and just, you know, wouldn't fall back. But yeah, I also just really wanted to open the platform of not hiding, you know, your emotions and being able to express yourself to the fullest through your creations. But as well as also with the pop-up shops, creating the space for everyone to hang out and bounce ideas off each other, start something new, talk about whatever it may be. Jepleur really, yeah, started that kind of thing I was looking for as well, with just, you know, creating a closer community. But
yeah. It sounds like a really healthy way to handle your emotions, eh? Just to embrace them.
Mm, 100%.
And to have like an outlet for them as well. It's so great, you know, like, some of like the best work that I've made has been in really like hard times, because I've just like, I have like an outlet that I can just like pour all of that emotion into. And like sometimes it might not be the best work, but it doesn't almost matter about the work. A lot of the like, that's a weird way to say it. I think sometimes it's just really nice to have an outlet like, you know, fashion or painting or any form of art or music or like just anything creative that you can put emotion into.
Oh my God, I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah, it's just so nice.
We need it. We definitely need this
in
our life. Yeah. Yeah. The thing I really like about these is like how you just acknowledge it, that that's just me and that's my attitude, that's my emotion. Like, that's what I really like about it. Yeah. What's the startup story? Is there any like initial starting up story about this when you're creating this?
Yeah, I was just in high school and I think it was design, my first year of design class.
Oh.
And we got given a brief, you know, when you show portfolios, you need it related to something. And I really had seen my friend start a brand. We were going to start one together. This was so long ago. And I just always had the mindset of wanting to start something, you know. And then all of a sudden, Jepleur was there and it just followed me and I followed it. And then I ended up here. So
such a young age.
Yeah, it was really young. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What about you, Ethan?
My venture started as Imperfections at first, which was really fun. I like released some screen printed denim jeans that had like a big sword on them. They were pretty funny. I probably did like 10 pairs of them and at this market. But I just felt that the name sort of had like a negative connotation towards the clothing, just directly calling what I was making imperfect, you know. So I rethought that and like just talked about it for a while. I think like it's really hard to figure out a brand name, in my opinion, like to find like 1 to 3 words sort of max you want that can embody like this whole entire like ethos and like feeling and emotion is like, I don't know, takes some time to figure out. So yeah, I kind of came to the realization that like I just loved what Imperfect embodies, and I think that like, you know, we're all imperfect creatures. That was kind of the thought, is like everyone's different in their own way, and that like makes the world exciting and like a fun place to be. So that was sort of like an embodiment of the brand in a way.
Yeah.
Like just sort of embracing that, and I guess like embracing that through myself and just like having an outlet to reflect it is essentially the brand.
Yeah.
And being able to share that with other people.
These definitely make the world a better place, eh?
Yeah. I feel like I have a similar ethos as, you know, we all cry.
Yeah.
We all embrace it.
Yeah.
Don't hide your tears, you know.
Mm.
Like, I don't know, personally, all my crying experiences lead into new experiences and positive changes. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And all the new starts coming from, you know, pain and crying. It's a new starting.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just important to acknowledge your feelings as well, you know?
True.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to let it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a cry.
Way.
Yeah.
Feel better after it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there any highlight or like lowest point in the journey?
I don't know. Sometimes I'm just like, this is so hard.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. It can be very disheartening. You put so, so much time into making one garment and you make like a whole body of work and try to sell it. And it's just like, it's just very hard. And I think with like, you know, with cost of living and where the world is at and people just not really having much money to play with to begin with makes it hard as well. But there's obviously like a way to do it and like that's what we're trying to slowly figure out. But I think for me, like a lot of the time that can be quite daunting and like a bit disheartening. It's just like, damn, like I love what I've created and like I've put so much time and love into it. But yeah. Trying to sell things can be really hard.
Yeah, and then you look at the amount of people doing it. It's quite daunting. You wake up every day and you see someone else doing it over in America or something and they're selling thousands of pieces of something that's, you know, it's quite hard not to compare yourself to people over there, you know, because you want to be in their position. You want to wake up every day and make it your living, and that's like our ultimate goal. But it's just having that consistency of trying to get to that point. And you do see a lot of people get to that point a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Just because of the, you know, higher population, the market over there isn't really interested in buying an Aotearoa.
And that's like the route that you decide to take, you know, like Jack and I make a lot of our clothing and then they're like Jack has worked more with manufacturers, which is like awesome and it's something that I'm trying to get into more. But realistically trying to make everything yourself and sell it as like a startup brand is, you know, it's more of a hobby really. Like unless you have like some form of backing, then you can't live like that. So that's quite a hard reality as well. Cause you just, I don't know. I think after graduating from Otago Polytech Fashion School, I was just like so excited and I knew that it was going to be hard, but I was just like, kind of ready to not take no for an answer, but then it was just like straight away, just like into full-time work. And I was just like at this retail store, just like hating my life. Not hating my life. It was a great job and beautiful people, but it's not what I wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, okay, have to try and like work back from there. But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I think at the 5 years of having my brand, Japlu, active, the biggest highlights were definitely the showrooms and pop-up shops, because then you also see the most in-person success out of those events, you know, because you've opened a space and you have, you know, Ethan and I held one 2 years ago on George Street and we had over 1,000 people turn up during that week, and you would make, you know, at the end of it, you'd look at what you've, you know, done and what you've made, what stock's gone, and that was... To see that after a week is so, it is very motivating. That is definitely one of the biggest highlights was Ethan and I's showroom.
Yeah.
I think it really showed us that we could push it to bigger heights and whatnot. And
definitely, like I hadn't done anything like that before. And Jack had experience doing pop-ups and showrooms, which was so good because, you know, he had like a lot to bring to the table coming into it. But it was just so fun. Like it had been something I dreamt about, and to like do it and have it work out so well was just like, I don't know, it was a really special moment. It was kind of like, okay, maybe, you know, like more so like this is possible. We can do this. We just need to like keep at it kind of thing.
Good feeling. It's definitely my highlight too. My first pop-up shop was my grandparents' garage, and I sold one tee. I had 30 of them sold out of those, and then I just got friends to sell their secondhand clothes in the garage, and then ended up having like one in a restaurant that I worked at for like a Halloween drop, and then the third one was outside the restaurant on Boxing Day.
Oh,
which was crazy because you had everyone wanting to spend money on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And then the fourth was, it started getting bigger, you know, like it was up in this cool old Art Deco building. And then it ended up being in a bigger Art Deco building in Napier, and then went to Wellington, and then finally met Ethan, and I was like, I want to collaborate on doing this. And that, when we had our show, it was insane. Being able to share that experience with someone else rather than just dwelling on it myself, really was, has been my biggest highlight of running Jibla. But
It's definitely been one of the biggest highs for me as well. So fun.
Now you have mentioned it, like, I know it's come to an end right now.
Yeah.
Would you want to share a bit of like how it make you feel and the reasons? Like,
I think I got to the point where I just want to close the chapter and see where I can venture off to next. We ended up hosting the runway show, and I think Jibla had put me to that point, and the runway show is probably everything I've ever wanted, and did that. And I'm like, you know what? The world worked in my favor and said it's time to let go and start something new.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about it and excited. Mm-hmm. I'm proud at where I've come to. I don't think I gave myself much credit when I was running Jibla. Now I look back and I actually have time to sit down and go, yeah, I did that. That was cool, you know? And just keen to keep on going with something new soon. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice. Now, what's the future? Like, is there any future plans for both of you? Where's this label taking you?
Well, like, World Go By is definitely, you know, at the forefront of our minds at the moment, I think, and like trying to figure out a way. Like, we're all kind of slowly moving in different paths and ways, but then in other ways we're all still moving in the same direction. It's kind of like, you know, location might change for a few of us in terms of where we live, but we know that we can do the show even if we are all in different places. Like, we proved that to ourselves from the first one. Like, you know, Jack and I were based in Dunedin, and then Finn was in Auckland and James in Wellington. And we were able to navigate that. So I think, like, just figuring out, you know, what the next step is for World Go By and doing another show, probably in Auckland, I think.
I think we're definitely thinking about go to Auckland.
Just try to figure out a time. It's just like,
it's only been a month since the show, so we're kind of still digesting and having little calls here and there about how we're feeling. It's still very fresh, and James Warrender has New Life Studios, and Finn Morahill owns Fringes, and so they're the two other organizers of As Watch World Go By, for anyone who doesn't know that's listening. That's like our next venture. Well, it's the newer venture that Ethan and I are a part of, and that's kind of started brewing up after our showroom on George Street. And then it all came collectively together when we were at a festival at Club 121 in Wellington.
There'd been like loose discussion about it, and it was something that we were all really passionate about and had been involved in shows, and it was kind of at the point where we were like joking about it, you know. It was like, well, we could do one, and then we all kind of just held each other to it and started hopping on calls and just, you know, putting things down on paper and actually starting to like flesh out a plan and slowly work away at it. So
This is what I like about it, because like it's always start of a joke and like you guys actually put into action, and that really makes me feel alive. You know, like the power of life, and you're really actually growing, you're actually like trying.
I think that's what, like, I don't know, it's what we love, and it's what keeps us like excited, you know. It's like a good challenge and something, I don't know, if you back yourself and, you know, you know how to like find the right resources or talk to people or be able to like put in hard work, then you really can make something happen. It's just a matter of like, you know, saying screw it, like let's just go for it. I think it was, I don't know, we're really lucky that we all found each other and all connect, like, you know, on a personal level outside of organizing something, because that's definitely been like a powerful, I think, a powerful part of our group or our organization.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess as Watch World Go By's main focus is, yeah, to just keep on shining light on the emerging designers of our Aotearoa, all of the world, you know. We're not limiting ourselves just to our country, but
yeah,
we just love having a space for everyone to showcase their work. And
Is that the initial idea of having this show?
Yeah, that was like that was the premise of of As We Watch the World Go By, was just to be able to, you know, have a platform where people can showcase their work with like minimal barriers to enter. Like, well, no barriers. The only barriers that we had was you have to get here at your own expense and, like, you know, pay for your time here, but you don't have to pay to enter into the show or anything like that. So that was something we were just really passionate about, I think, as well, like spending a few years, like, you know, trying to, well, Jack has been obviously doing it for quite a few years now, like longer than I have, especially like trying to sell like clothing. But yeah, it's just like it's a pretty crazy landscape, to be honest. But
I
think what is, like, we've mentioned resilience, we've mentioned strengths. It's not something that you learn from school, eh? It's always from life, and always from trying and learning, eh?
Yeah. Just kind of got to wake up every day and show up and do it.
Yeah.
I like how you really get the passion. Like, it's really the driving force to keep you going. It's because you love it, right?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Righty. We could move on to the show, I suppose. Because we've been mentioning it quite a lot. And you were saying this starting off a joke, and you just literally just get up and did it with other organisers.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, well, I mean, Jack and I had discussion about doing a fashion show.
Yeah.
Like, sort of during the pop-up and then after the pop-up. We've been talking about that for a while. And then James invited us to a show, James Warrender in Wellington, that he organised through New Life Studios, which was called Ticket to Nowhere. And that was such a great experience. Like, Jack, Finn and myself were all designers in that, amongst a few others. And so that was like the first time that we were all together as like a group. And we had like just such a fun time together during that show. And then the next time we saw each other was at a festival, and we just had like a couple hours all sitting down on the grass together, just talking about like the last show and like life and what we wanted to do. And I think that's when we all sort of just, we were talking about it for so long, like how we wanted to do like a bigger show with like all of us organizing it and like bigger scale sort of thing. And then, I don't know, I feel like we just kind of were like, all right, well,
let's planning. Do
it. Let's just like hold each other to it. And we shook on it and then just didn't talk about it again for like a week or two.
The next week we hopped on a call and we're just like, let's go.
Yeah. Like, we went on with the day
and
then hopped on a call the next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because James held another fashion show at the 121 Festival as well.
Oh.
So I think it was a week or two earlier he had that runway show, and then 121 said to bring it to their festival as well. So seeing James do that was just insane, you know.
Yeah.
Pulling that off.
Yeah. Such an incredible job, and like multiple different shows as well. So
yeah,
it
was, and such a good team,
such a motivation, eh?
And
the New Life runway shows were also organised by Ava,
and Cole.
I'm afraid that it's all for today. It was a really enjoyable talk, and once again, thank you for coming to my show. I'm sure there's more to come on next episode. Just keep an eye out, and we'll catch you up next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Coltrane Bowden, that's his name.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Glow As We Grow on OAR FM Youth Zone. Feel free to message me on my Instagram at zozozoe_official. You can find Glow As We Grow on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and oar@org.nz. Hope you have a lovely day.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.